dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SBCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs and Bruce Knox.
Hello there, SVC sports fans, and welcome in to show 187 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I'm Bruce Knox, the young man over there, one Mr. Shane Combs. How are you, Shane?
Doing great, Bruce. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I want to remind everybody that our show and all shows in the series here have been brought to you by the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, located just behind the Hampton Inn, 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, right off of Ridge Street. And they are open 7 days a week to serve you, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. They've got the good Cardo's pizzas. They are playing host to all kinds of parties and events, sports, arcade games, super inflatable land. You don't want to forget about that. Give them a call, 740-773-PLAY. That's 740-773-7529. Or look them up on the web at www.TripleCrownFamilyFunCenter.com. Didn't mean to cut you off there, Shane, but had to get in our sponsor, our billboard sponsor, mention there for us as we get into what looks like a pretty good agenda here on all kinds of big topics for the SVC. What will we be delving into this week?
Well, yeah, we certainly do want to always give credit to Triple Crown Family Fun Center. They're the reason, you know, we can do this. It is a good agenda. It has a little mixture to it. Obviously, the tournament draw earlier this afternoon comes out. We're recording here on Sunday night, and for baseball and softball, so we'll touch on that a little bit. We'll get some feedback, maybe talk even more detail next week. We have more inbox to get to. Last week, we just couldn't get to all of it. I apologize to some people. What I try to do is work hard in the inbox this week, as well as three or four conversations I got in out in the communities. And really looked for some of the things that were seemed to be most on the minds of our listeners and some of the people around the league. So we'll try to get to that. I know coming up here, now that the calendar is going to flip to May, we have a junior high SVC coming up this week in track. I want to say it's out of Paint Valley, the high school being the Ross County meet. Mm-hmm. And then we're just a week away from the high school SVC, and then they'll be off to tournaments. So you add all that in with some end of the regular season there, baseball, softballs, they'll transition to postseason. And, you know, we'll just look at a lot of teams and players, and I think we'll be able to really highlight a lot of our student athletes this evening.
It just seems like this spring season to me has gone quickly. I don't know whether it's the age creeping up on me or what, but it just goes fast, doesn't it?
See, that's crazy. Yeah, because I mean, like, maybe it's just the coaching aspect or whatever, but like,
you're busy.
You know, I'll have people say, oh, this year's going fast. And an assistant coach will say this, or a different coach will say, I'll be like, man, I feel like every day's like a month. maybe I just need to step back and look at it through the eyes of some others.
Well, give yourself about 15 years and you'll catch up with me, and maybe the days will go faster even for you then. Of course,
Okay. That's
you probably won't be coaching at that point in time, but who knows? you might be a little long in the tooth to be out there by that time. Shane, we want to give a shout out to Crown Hill Golf Club, of course, one of our sponsors here, and I think you've got some information there on some upcoming events that they may have.
Yeah, you know, around the SVC, I understand it can be a little bit of a lengthy drive. I think some of us, it's not too bad, but they're starting some different leagues. You know, maybe going up there a particular night during the summer there, if that works into your schedule, might be a way to get you up there to a good course, or maybe you're just looking for some different memberships. What I would do is give them a call, 740-986-GOLF. I know they've started some leagues, and then when we highlight them here in a little bit, I'll even throw out another event there to highlight a little bit. But I just really encourage people, as the weather starts to turn and you're starting to get into your spring and summer golf plans, make sure you remember Crown Hill Golf Club. Again, that's 740-986-GOLF.
Shane going yard there with a big tease about something coming up for Crown Hill Golf Club, and we'll get back to that in just a little bit. Well, as we record this, of course, we make no secret that we do so on Sunday night for publication on Monday night and Tuesday morning as everybody kind of gets rolling on Tuesday morning. But right now, as we speak, we've only got like two league games remaining. And, you know, because of the fact that this gets recorded and then produced on Monday and published and so forth, really, by the time we release this show, there'll be but one game left and maybe even completed at that time by the time people hear it. How do you kind of coach at this point in the season where you're kind of at the regular, you're at the end of the regular season and you're preparing for that tournament run? And you mentioned, of course, the tournament draw earlier today, but we'll get to that later. So how are you kind of changing your coaching for, you know, this time?
This has been something that's been asked of me quite a bit here in the last couple of days. I've talked to some former coaches, and I've talked to some fans and some parents and some different people. And, you know, really, it kind of depends on where you're at, Bruce. Obviously, if you're Westfall softball, if you're Uniota baseball, you kind of put the tournament bracket on the back burner, if you will, and you're locked right into the task at hand. Mm-hmm. You know, PV softball, still mathematically with the chance of Dean, a baseball with all kinds of an opportunity. Keep in mind, Uniota still has to go through Zane Trace, probably Brooks. If you look at the way Coach Allen has been pitching here lately, it's probably going to be Brooks getting a chance at Uniota. So Adina definitely not done there on the baseball side, but obviously Uniota controlling their own destiny. So I think that's the first part, is where you're at.
Okay.
I know the year we finished second in the league to Adina and lost the two really close games to them. That was kind of where we were down the stretch. You know, even finishing second in the league, once we realized mathematically on that last night we weren't going to have a chance. Mm-hmm. That was really, really important. And I think Coach Medved would probably feel the same way. Keep in mind, I said earlier in the year, Paint Valley outside of football hasn't won an SVC championship in anything since 96. So, you know, sometimes when we're the little kid on the block, when we have some of our better teams, I know I felt this way in baseball. I said finishing second that year, we took as much pride in that almost as we did our district championship. Now, don't get me wrong, the district championship was very, very special.
Sure.
But it was one of those things where we understood the magnitude and on how hard it was for us to get the double-figure league wins. So I think Paint Valley softball certainly playing for that. I think there's some other teams. Now, with wherever your program is, when you start getting into trying to finish fifth instead of seventh or sixth instead of eighth or, you know, whatever it might be, obviously we're trying to win every night out. That goes without saying. But there are certain decisions in terms of, are you going to rest a particular arm a mm-hmm. little bit more for the tournament? Are you, you know, do you have a couple key guys nursing an injury, things that they might play through in other situations? Maybe they're nursing it a little bit. You know, are you playing a team that you now know from the tournament draw you're going to play again next week with your season on the line?
Mm.
You know, that could dictate who you throw or not throw. So there are some different things there. The bottom line is, though, when you go out and you're playing, you're trying to win. But in terms of the way you coach the process leading up to and some of the mindset, I guess I'd be lying if I didn't say there were some different factors there that, depending on what type of year you're in, certainly impact the way you go about your decision making.
You mentioned something there that I you know, just hadn't thought about because I don't coach sport. But what would you do if, I mean, how would you go through things if you're playing somebody that you're going to get in the tournament? What changes would you do? Would you try to throw everything you could at them, or would you say, again, where are we in the league? Is this going to matter? And then it's going to matter obviously next week in the tournament, so we'll change things up. How are you going to approach that if that ever happens to you?
Not 9 chances out of 10, I don't want them to see the pitcher that they're going to see the following week. Now, okay. I did run into a situation when I was a younger coach where this happened, and I felt like with where our program was at, we were playing a program still in the regular season that we were going to play in a tournament, and it was a program that was far more accomplished than us. Mm-hmm. And I thought going after the regular season win was very important for us in terms of confidence and in terms of the strides that we were taking in our program. So there are some unique situations where you might do it differently. But I guess from a baseball side of things, you probably would want to avoid them seeing. Now, as far as the everyday lineup, I mean, I think with if it's a league school especially, you know, we kind of – by this time of the year, we kind of have a feel for the lineups around the league. But that pitcher being out there on the mound and you getting a chance to scout 80, 90 pitches from them, sure, that's very helpful. So I think I would speak for most coaches when I would say that you'd probably, unless a major, major spot in the league standings was on the line, you'd probably avoid maybe throwing whoever you're planning on throwing in that tournament setting. Now, softball, that's a really interesting question because some softball teams don't even have a second pitcher.
Right.
So, I mean, that's an interesting thing maybe for a softball person to give us some feedback on.
Need old Jeremy Ward around here about now, don't we, for mm-hmm. answer that kind of question.
Well, loosen the tie up a little bit long enough to answer his softball question.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't do that, I don't think. I don't know. Have to maybe pose that question to him. So,
yeah.
Anyway, up first on our agenda, as we really kind of get into things, we turn our attention to athletes and we highlight some of the league's best. As we get our first look at feedback, this section brought to you on podcast number 187 by C&K Athletic Equipment, located at 116 East High Street in Circleville. They are open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Saturdays 9 to 12 and Sunday, they are closed. They are your local school apparel source and doing a lot more with SVC teams these days. Also, you can find other fitness gear, sports accessories, headwear, and sports equipment no matter where you might be. So give them a call, 740-477-9828, and tell them the boys at SVC Sports Zone sent you. As we get into what we said, some of the athletes tonight, we're going to first just kind of pick Shane's brain a little bit here. You've experienced all but what we say two games in the normal SVC season now, so I'm going to kind of put some questions to you here. First, you know, witnessing what you have and the knowledge that your huge sports knowledge of the SVC, who are you gonna say has the best pitching staff in baseball at this point in time?
Well, I think if we're talking pitching staff and we're talking about, you know, all the different arms available to a coach, I think you have to go right to the top of the standings. I think that Unio Nadina would certainly top that list. And, you know, their record kind of shows at it. Uniota 10-2 and Adina at 9-3. But, you know, with Uniota, they're just so, so talented. Patterson's been terrific, and Sigler and Edler and even Uten. And they just, you know, they all are good athletes on the mound. Mm-hmm. They all have good velocity. They all have a good approach. You know, even though some of them are a little young for their age, they still have a lot of varsity experience on the mound. You know, they've thrown in a lot of different situations. So it's just, you know, I talked about Uniota's defense and a past show, and they really are. But at the same time, at the high school level, a lot of times when you have a pitching staff that can just overpower certain parts of the order, that takes a lot of pressure off of a defense.
Right.
You know, when they're able to just go and constantly, it seems like all the box scores I'm getting in Uniota pitchers a lot of times are striking out, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 a night. You know, so when you start approaching that halfway point of your outs, that certainly helps a defense be that much better. So yeah, Patterson and Sigler and Edler and Newton are there at the top. But you know, Dina's had, it's been a little bit unknown, the health of Blevins. Mm-hmm. I mean, JD Blevins is one of the really elite arms in our league, but Adina's right there as well with Free and Dawson, and I was even impressed with Kunkel's ability to come in tight situations and throw the ball well. So even it just shows you Adina's depth. Most people, if you're lucky enough to have a talent of Blevins, if you lose that type of talent, you would think your season would fall apart. Well, all they do is go to their other two aces with a nice arm in the back to support, and here they are still into the final week with a chance. So I would say, you know, in softball, we don't necessarily get to look at a staff. So obviously it's kind of a boring discussion of, you know, we know Newland's really good and Brown and Alexander and so forth, but it's easier to do. But in baseball there, I think for sure those two would have to be at the top of the list.
Okay. I neglected to say, and maybe I did, I don't recall to tell you the truth, but these are kind of questions generated from feedback that we received throughout the week. And one kind of side note to that question about the best pitching staff that I just put to you, someone wanted to know, they said, why do coaches seem to not have a set rotation? You know, in the bigs, they obviously have a set rotation. You can tell you probably 5 days out who's going to pitch and so forth. But they're noting here, why do coaches seem to not have a set rotation in high school in the SVC?
I don't want to speak for all coaches. I would say more coaches have a somewhat of a set rotation than you think.
But they vary from it?
Well, there's different factors that are just out of your control. You know, number one is the weather. Yeah. That's the first thing. You know, in high school baseball, we experience far more weather, rainouts and different things. So, you know, now if you're Uniota and you're that talented and your top three starters or four starters, it may not matter. You might just keep them in order and go. I think other coaches would tell you, look, there's a big difference between my number one and my number three. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times if you have a rain out and different games get pushed back, now all of a sudden different kids are going to move in. You might think that, hey, I'm going to go this way on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but you might get locked up in an 8 or 9 inning game on Monday night and you feel like, hey, I got to win the game in front of me. Mm-hmm. And again, a lot of teams may not have that type of depth I just talked about there, or they may not have those types of specialists that a couple of our top half teams have. So I think more coaches probably have more of a plan than you think. I'm not saying sometimes there's not a little bit more gut feeling involved, but I think to answer the question, weather and then just different high school scenarios where, you know, kids might have to do some catching or play some shortstop or do some different things throughout the week that that makes small school high school baseball a little bit different than maybe the D2, especially the D1, or as you get into the higher levels of baseball.
All right. Someone wants to know the list of pitchers that have surprised you.
Well, good question. You know, because we obviously have a really good league. I mean, the difference right now between, you know, the top of the league and the bottom of the league has been proven to be a pretty small gap when you mm-hmm. look at a lot of final scores. So this is a good question. I think probably the first thing I think of when I see the word surprise, I'd probably give a lot of credit to the Piketon pitching staff in general. Crabtree and Vogelmore and Pack and Newkirk, Blakeman, Spires. I hope I'm not leaving anyone too obvious out there. But just in general, I've been real, real impressed with how well they've pitched. And I think it's given them the opportunity here. They still have a game they have to finish. It's given them kind of an opportunity to hang right there in the middle of the standings. And I think their pitching staff has a lot to do with that. You know, Southeastern, we obviously know the name Pop. I've been real impressed with the growth of Hartman over the last year. I think he's been terrific. Paint Valley, I know, has some young arms that I've had other people tell me. They've been real surprised with how well they've thrown the ball. Mettler, McFadden, even Hamlin, a nice lefty sophomore for us. You know, Huntington's Cooper, you know, we'll remember in basketball, Cooper playing a little bit there at the beginning of the year. He's come out and thrown some games, and it's kind of moved that pitching staff around with Smith and McDonald and Beeler and so forth. And, you know, here they are at 11 overall wins. Westfall's Nunnemaker, probably a little bit of a surprise in terms of how dominant he's been on some big stages. Probably the difference is just Uniota just has too many number one type of talents. But I think we start to see, you know, and then on the softball, again, it's those basic names. I guess if I was going to give you a surprise, I'd probably say Kaylee Hurley of Huntington has stepped in. I think she would tell you herself that she's not, you know, the ideal softball pitcher, but she's tried to do it for the good of her team, and she's done a pretty good job of it this year.
Another one of our listeners wants to know that they've heard that it's real important to build your defense up the middle. And along those lines, why do you think, or why do you not think, that is the case?
Well, I think a lot of times, Bruce, things in baseball, again, it's funny, you just asked that question about the pitching rotation earlier.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times these things come from the top down. So you go all the way to the highest level of baseball. You kind of build it with defense up the middle with your catcher, your shortstop, your second baseman, your center fielder. And then you think about it a lot of times in Major League Baseball, you get a little bit more offense out of your corner infielder, your corner outfielder, so forth. And there's obviously some exceptions to the rule, but that's a very common theme. So I think that probably comes down, you know, from the top down. I think at the high school level, what makes that so important, it does correlate to no matter what level of baseball you're at, is oftentimes you're asking those middle defenders to cover a lot more ground.
Yeah.
You know, you're asking that center fielder to cover a lot more ground than a corner outfield. The middle infielders have so much going on. Are they in and out covering coverage if a guy's on second? Are they in double play depth? Are they moving on the steal? Are they, you know, where are they getting on bunt coverages? A lot of times a kid might have to show at second and run 90 feet to cover first, and he basically has about 3 seconds to do it if he gets a late jump. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you're talking about some pretty athletic kids there. Obviously, the catcher is extremely important in terms of their athleticism, and then arm strength becomes a big deal as well. So I think that that's certainly true, and I think that's probably the best description I could give a person that's just getting familiar with the game or very familiar with the game and just wondered why that is. I think that's probably the best description I could give them to describe that.
As a side note, is that hold true for softball as well as baseball?
You know, interesting, because the softball field's a lot smaller. You know, I've talked to some softball people about this, and I'll be honest, I get a mixed bag. Some people will still say the shortstop is really important, where other people will say in softball they believe in putting that best elite athlete at third. And I'm guessing the thinking behind that is gosh, if you watch high school softball and watch where some of these third basemen play, they're a lot braver than I am. You know, but I would say a lot of the corner infielders become just as valuable in softball because of bunt coverage. You know, from what I hear people say, using the slap hitter, or if you're facing a Michaela Newland or an elite softball pitcher, a lot of times you're just looking to put the ball in play and do some different things. So, you know, I've heard people still say that the center fielder, the shortstop, very important. The catcher, obviously, very important still. But I think the one difference I'm hearing that I would love to get more feedback on is that third baseman becomes extremely crucial in some of your coverages on the softball diamond.
All right. The writer of the email went on to say, can you give us some players to watch at these positions? I guess we're talking up the middle again.
Yeah, I think I could do that. Again, we're talking range and arm strength and calling out a lot of the shifts and so forth. And I think when I look at that, let's start softball there, because sometimes we cheat them a little bit. I think when I think of catchers, you know, we talk so much about Brown and Newland. We don't maybe talk enough about Terry at Westfall there. I know Sigmund's a good athlete at Uniota. I mean, how about Liam McFadden? We probably don't say that name enough. I mean, Michaela Newland is obviously a Division I signee that throws the ball extremely well. I know that Leah McFadden has put a lot of time into her craft behind the plate there and getting better. So I think that's probably important. On baseball side, you know, we graduated some really good catchers. Mm-hmm. You know, Tegan McFadden was an All-Ohio kid. Davis at Zane Trace was really good. You know, when I look this year in the league, I was really impressed with the Throckmorton kid at Edina. I think he does a nice job, good quick release. Edler has proven to be one of the elite athletes in our league as well. So those are some people that go. And then if I go into the middle infield, Piketon has a good double play combination with Pack and Blakeman. You know, the Hopkins kid at Southeastern's been back there for a while. He does a good job. I watched him receive pop one night. I thought he did a nice job. You know, Nunnemaker, when he's not pitching, plays some shortstop for Westfall. There's an example, Bruce, how Nunnemaker, a short, Farrell's our catcher. Armin Trout Frazier is a little bit more where they look for their offense, and they're your corner infielders. Right. So that's a little bit of an example of what we talked about. You know, Brian Smith, B. Smith, most of us call him around the league from Huntington. He's obviously a game changer in that leadoff spot. You know, we feel like at Paint Valley, I'm obviously biased, but we feel like we have as good a defensive center fielder as there is in the league, and Drake Stanforth, and he does the same for us. When he can really take a game over in the leadoff spot offensively as well. Farley of Zane Trace. The Cottrell kid at Uniota is a good defender. Same way with White in center field. He's obviously an elite offensive talent as well, but he does a nice job. And, you know, so I'm sure I'm missing some kids. as I go, you know, softball side, I know Ashton Ward is a good hitter, Adina, Carroll and Stark, Westfall, Fulham, the Fulham girl can really hit. Ricky McGill's a really good 40-year player. Again, we've talked about this a lot, and I'm sure we will in our all-league discussion in the next week. Ricky's a kid, because she doesn't really pitch, sometimes gets lost in terms of just how good a player she is.
Right.
Piketon with Cooper and Smith and Reuter and Southeastern with Carroll and Skeens and Wheeler, just athletically. We know those names from other sports.
Yeah.
Uniota had Pinkerton the other night. Pinkerton hit for the cycle. She does a lot of good things on the softball team and can help impact the game in a lot of ways. But, yeah, several others, But, what's really neat about this, and obviously we've tried to really pick it up even more, but this is what we've been doing for 7 or 8 years. But now that Derek Webb and Mike Smith and some people are around the area, not around as much now, this was something that was pretty cool. I had someone tell me the other night, and I never did go back and count them up. There was one night of SVC play where all four games were able to happen, where we had good weather.
Mm-hmm.
Or they said we had like 35 to 40 kids named on the baseball scoreboard, mm-hmm. and almost 15 to 20 or 22 or something like that on the softball. And I thought that was kind of a neat thing that people took the time to count those up. And I appreciated them giving me that feedback, because it kind of let me know that they were appreciating that. We get going about all stats and this isn't right or this isn't right. The bottom line of it is, if on one night we highlighted over 50 kids.
Yeah.
Then we're doing a heck of a lot more right than we are wrong.
Sure are. And keep that thought about stats, because
okay.
After we take a quick break, and when we return, we have a hot topic that's continued to come up in the fall, winter, and the spring. And it's sort of around what the name game means, but it also involves stats. We'll be back after this. Where's Derek Webb when you need him? He would have appreciated that music, I think. A little hairband stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
Anyway, we mentioned earlier, and I guess we talked kind of at length last week, didn't we, about stats and so forth, and implied in that email that prompted that, there was a problem with some people have with stats. Who's making them? Who's recording them? And do those that are in benefit from some of those calls and that kind of thing? And we also know that every school seems to deal with what people call politics. It's been around since the beginning of time, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So, kind of, if you can kind of segregate this a little bit, what are some of the problems with stats, and how big of a problem is it, and how is it influenced by, quote unquote, my little air quotes going on here, politics?
Well, first, let's start, if you're okay with it, let's start
sure.
with
it's just your show. It's your show.
The politics side of this okay. thing. I mean, I don't mean to laugh, but I mean, the thing of it is the reason I chuckle a little bit is when you've coached for 22 years now, multiple sports, dealt with boys, dealt with girls, even helped at some of the younger levels. Obviously, I've done most of mine at the varsity level, but I'm a teacher as well, so I also get this a little bit in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going to happen? In 22 years of doing this, I think I'm in year, 18 of teaching. I think it is. I've had board member kids on my team or in my classroom.
Okay.
I've had principal kids. I've had staff kids. I've had local business people. And, and this is going to happen in a small community, obviously.
Yeah.
Now, do we run into problems with stats or different things or different selections or different things? I'm not naive, okay? I obviously know this stuff goes on a lot of places, but I think a lot of times it becomes a little bit too much of the catch-all or the cop-out or the excuse. Sure, I think that's fair. And oftentimes, do do people look at this and say, oh, they're the best players, or they, you know, look, I've had kids in class that have been awesome students. I've had board member kids that have struggled to make C's. I've had some that are my best players, some on the border of getting cut. And to be honest, you know, you just go with it. In today's time, you try to be honest. I've tried to always coach with the philosophy of, at the end of the day, you can call me an idiot, just don't call me a liar. And I try to be real honest with them and go with it. Now, again, is that going to work for everybody? No, it's not. Because, and two, you're not only going to get evaluated by a lot of people today. Nowadays, they even have the public platform.
Oh, yeah. social media
and different things. And, you know, so sure. Now, look, again, I'm not trying to say this doesn't exist. I'm just trying to say that we really have to evaluate situations and ask yourself what's really going on here. You know, I run into this. Now that they've graduated, I can give you an example of, like, you know, when Anthony and Tegan McFadden were freshmen in high school. Well, you know, they played varsity and so forth, and people be like, oh, there's, you know, McFadden playing. Well, you know, their last name could have been, you know, Willie Snapper. I mean, it didn't matter what their name was. It mattered that they, you know, in my evaluation, were top nine players. And, you know, I think what happens is what you teach kids here are some really good life lessons. You teach them that, look, when you come in, you earn your keep, you work hard, you know, and that's what those young men did. You know, as they went on to win two district titles and were all Ohio performers and so forth, a lot of that stuff takes care of itself if they act the right way. You know, people ask more about stats, and at the high school level, you know, basic stats are hard enough. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, how about having this stat or this stat or this stat?
Yeah.
And I'm very open-minded to that. I am. We get it in volleyball a lot. You know, we're even starting to get it in basketball. But the problem is, a lot of times at the high school level, certain teams have far better stat programs than others. You know, we don't always have the ability to count certain things in volleyball or in baseball or in softball or so forth. Also, keep in mind, in spring sports, this is another interesting thing that I know from being a basketball coach of the same amount of years. You know, we don't have film.
That's now, exactly now we're in where it's going. Yeah.
Well, good. Because now the huddle, you'll remember us talking about this in our basketball, it's starting to creep into some of our spring sports. I know Chris Medved uses a lot of Paint Valley. We're in the early stages of trying to mess with it a little bit. We've used some film work for some different things, but we're in the process. By next year, we hope to have our entire games filmed. So kids can look at their at-bats. Well, at the same time, then we have an opportunity to go back and study, was that a hit or an error?
Right.
You know, a lot of times people get mad, but you know, we don't make the rules of baseball. We just follow them. You know what I mean? It might be sometimes as a pitcher, you pitch into some bad luck. You know what I mean? It's a situation where should the fly ball that went up that someone lost in the sun get caught? Yeah, probably. But that doesn't always make it an error in terms of the scoring decision. Or you know, should you know, was that bad hop unfortunate? Yeah, but it's a situation where it was a bad hop. So you also would have an opportunity. And I said this before. I feel like in baseball, we're a lot closer to getting it right, and a lot of it has to do with the relationship of the coaches. We take a lot of pride going in and trying to get these things right. But a lot of times to say that it's cheating kids or different things, again, I'm not naive. I'm not saying it doesn't happen ever. But I think that that sometimes I think we blow it out of proportion. I would like to see what's the off season attendance, what's the work ethic, what's their grades like, what's their behavior like, and see if there aren't some separation things there as well. Because I think that's what you find a lot of times. You know, do I have favorites in the classroom as a teacher? When I go into school tomorrow morning, do I have favorites? Yeah, I have favorites. My favorites are the ones that are there on time and have their Chromebook open to what I put up on my smart board and are ready to learn and are going to behave. That's what I always tell people. Same way in baseball. My favorites are the ones that work really hard.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I mean, again, it's out there, but I think sometimes we get a little carried away with it, if I'm being honest. I'm just trying to be honest.
Shane, I don't really know the answer to this question, so I'm asking this not because it's in the agenda or anything like that, because I just don't know. But in baseball and softball, does the same person throughout the season keep the book for a team? Is that typical, or is it more kind of thrown at whomever, whatever parent might be willing to do it and there for a game? Do you have the same person keeping the book the whole season?
We do, yes. Okay. Now that's not, you know, we take our book very serious because it's not only for statistical purposes, it's for scouting purposes and note purposes. So, you know, I usually conduct my staff in a way where we try to have the book being kept in the dugout.
Okay.
Now, most people, now especially, let's say you get on the JV level, that's going to be less realistic.
Right.
But even at the varsity level, I would say there's still some people that have the book being kept by someone. I would say most programs try to, you know, but obviously life happens and not everybody can attend 27 games.
Yeah.
You know, so to answer your question, I would say that more times than not, I'd say the same person's keeping it. Oh, I'd say well over 3 out of 4 games, but I'm sure they have some different people to fill in, especially maybe on some of those non-league or some different things on the road sometimes, or some people don't make it. But yeah, we always try to keep it within the program.
Yeah, I just thought that having the same, you know, person making the score and keeping the book would provide some, you know, consistency.
And technology's really changing stats.
That's what I was just thinking too. We've got, you know, I can't think of the program's name, but you know, all kinds of apps are beginning to flourish on the internet to keep
game changers. Big one.
Yeah, that's a big one. And that I think is one of the reasons why you're getting all these different kinds of statistics. You know, you mentioned in volleyball there was a lot of new types of statistics, and basketball they're starting to creep in, and I'm sure someone will say, well, let's, you know, ultimately we'll keep track of the color of their uniforms or something like that, as a, you know, just being facetious obviously, but because they can, and someone somewhere thought that that's important. I don't know. So
think about this too, Bruce. If you are keeping the scorebook in basketball,
right?
Well, it's pretty obvious how many points someone scores.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious in baseball. There's no argument on how many strikeouts someone had tonight. Both books are going to agree on that.
Right.
If unless they're just completely done wrong. The problem comes, just like in basketball, I had him for 7 assists tonight. You had him for 9.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because now all of a sudden there's a little bit more of an opinion based in terms of a scorer's decision.
Mm-hmm.
The same way. I had him 2 for 3 tonight. I had him 3 for 3. I thought that ball was unplayable for that shortstop in the 4th inning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's stuff that happens every single night. You know, a lot of times, you know, it's very commonplace where I'll see, Piketon had us for 8 hits tonight. I had us for 9. I need to check with Gino there and see what he had. You know what I mean? But again, because of our relationships, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that exists throughout the league. Because again, we don't really have a sport where we have official scorekeeper. The perfect scenario would be to have, you know, an official scorekeeper at all sites, but that's just not financially or time-wise a reality.
Maybe you could pick up some old ESPN guys that used to call baseball or used to call something, and
they're losing their job, aren't they?
They're probably looking. Well, how big, kind of to put a bow on this, how big of a problem is this? I mean, we talked about it last week. The email kind of, you know, hinted at it, didn't hint at it. It made it a point. But how big of a problem do you think this really is? Is it, I mean, does it warrant all the attention that it gets?
Well, I'm okay with the attention. I guess the bottom line or the bow on it, as you say, that I would put on is that, you know, human error is a part of it.
Okay.
And I can tell you, as far as when it comes down to all league, again, as someone who's done this in multiple sports for a long, long time, you know, We get the correct kids on that all league 90% of the time. Now, you're always going to be able to argue over the bottom of a list. Never have I had a year where it's just like this year. Whoever the top 14 players or so in the SBC Baseball League end up being, I think it's going to be very hard to argue. Now, could we argue about another 12 to 13 kids for those last 4 spots? Sure. You know, a lot of it's going to come down to some league standings, or a lot of it might come down to, you know, sometimes it could come down to a senior over a freshman who's been doing it for 2 or 3 years in the league, and that sticks in a coach's mind, or, you know, but again, I don't think it's something that impacts the all league selections and some of these different awards is quite as much. And I can also tell you for sure with colleges, a lot of times,
mm-hmm.
I had a lot of phone calls in the last 3-4 years about Tegan McFadden or Mason McCloy, or, and not one time did they ask, now remind me what Mason hit his junior year. No, they asked me, you know, what kind of young man is he? Does he go to class on time? Is he a good student? Do you feel like you can push him as a coach? You know, how does he treat his parents? Those are the things I'm sitting here taking phone calls about, you know, not necessarily their stats. You know, they already know they can play, or they wouldn't have been calling me in the first place.
Good stuff. Well, let's head to Extra Innings, brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club again.
Yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to them, as we always do going into Extra Innings here. Let me give the number 740-986-GOLF. That's 740-986-GOLF. And, you know, Bruce, I thought it would be good, as I'm trying to highlight some of their upcoming events. I know I've got something here to kind of give my brother Matt and his basketball program down there at Vinton County a shout out, because I know a lot of our local golfers here want to get involved in some early season scrambles. And I know Vinton County is going to take their scramble to Crown Hill this year. Mm-hmm. You know, some nice friendships made there. Some people at Crown Hill really got into the Vinton County season there and followed a lot of the local athletes. And let's see here. It's going to be May 20th. It's a 1 p.m. start. It's limited to the first 25 teams due to number of carts. And it looks like it's going to be $60 per person. That'll include Mulligan, meal afterwards, and man, the Crown Hill really has some nice facilities up there for that type of stuff, if you check out their website on that, and some water, soft drinks throughout. So yeah, the good stuff there. And again, that's at Crown Hill Golf Club. That just gives you an idea of one of the many, many things you could get involved in and play. But they run a lot of events, and then I know they host a lot of things for our SVC golfers and some of our local Southeast golfers at the high school level as well. So Crown Hill doing a lot for our area, 740-986-GOLF. And, you know, Bruce, as we go in Extra Innings, I thought we certainly need to make sure we get a little tournament talk in. So these three questions, we'll get a little baseball, softball answer, and we'll talk a little tourney time.
What is unique about the postseason for baseball and softball when comparing it to other sports?
Tough question. For softball, it's probably more of the reality like basketball or volleyball, but I think I could almost argue sometimes in baseball that you are not always what your record says you are. You know, if I'm looking through some of the brackets today and I see, I'll give you an example outside of our league, Alexander Baseball, down a little bit. Below 500, but they have a D1 pitcher that's a really special talent. Well, you know as well as I do, you don't want their bracket. That's not the type of guy you want to face. I can remember the legendary coach Don Neff saying that, you know, a lot of times if you're playing a team that's 10-9, but their number one is 5-0, it's almost like you as a one seed playing a one seed. So I think that's probably where it's unique, is because of what I've always referred to as the tournament lineup. You don't put your tournament lineup out there in baseball every night because of your pitcher. So a lot of times, you know, if your basketball record says you're 15-5, well, you're 15-5. So in baseball, it's where it's maybe a little bit different.
What team becomes even more dangerous in the postseason?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of teams that feel like they become more dangerous when they get to that set lineup. But for me, one that jumps out at me would be Zane Trace with the Brooks kid. I mean, he's dynamic. He's experienced. You're talking about a guy that's only lost a couple times in his career now, maybe 2-3 times, and he's just going to always keep the team in the game and brings a lot of experience pitching there with the Southpaw. And then, you know, obviously Adina and Uniota, if they get into some rain situations, they're probably going to be deeper than most. So, you know, all SVC teams, like in basketball, there's not a big gap. So what's happened is we've played a lot of close games. So we certainly feel like we're battle tested. And then obviously in softball, Paint Valley in Division 4 is extremely dangerous.
Finally, what jumps out at you as the headline when looking at the brackets for the SVC teams?
Well, I think we're going to have an opportunity to spread the wealth just a little bit more. You know, I mentioned Paint Valley softball D4, Westfall obviously D3, Uniota D2. Well, then keep an eye on one of the other brackets I know in D3, where Huntington Piketon really have some nice draws. They could meet as far as the district final out. Now, obviously, they're going to play extremely well, but they play some teams that they've played head-to-head earlier in the year and have been successful. So spreading the wealth certainly could happen there. And then, you know, on the baseball side, we do have a couple unfortunate brackets that where we're going to beat up on each other. But all in all, I think there's an opportunity for half of the league or so to maybe play to the BA.
And our extra innings is brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club. They're located at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport, Ohio. Give them a call, 740-986-GOLF at 740-986-4653. And a lot of our show is obviously generated with feedback, and we'll give you a couple ways here you can provide said feedback to Shane so we can get your questions, your comments, and your input onto the show. First of all, you can follow him at Twitter and correspond there. His handle is at svcsportzone.com. He also maintains two profiles on Facebook through which you can communicate with him. And then the old standby, which really isn't that old at all, but email. You can get him at the inbox. We talk about all the time, and that was usually collectively, but in this case it is email. Is admin1@svcsportzone.com. So we'd love to hear from you, whether you like us, you hate us, you think we're okay, whether you've got a comment, a question, just input for the show. And I think we've probably got, what, two more shows or so to go this season. But as we start into the summer, we're always looking for, you know, things to talk about next year as well. So we're starting already to think about next week. We've got our teams in negotiations, and hopefully we won't have to lay off anybody just like ESPN. And so I haven't heard yet whether I'm laid off for next year or not. But anyway, we're going to move now into our post-game comments. That's brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. We gave them a shout-out earlier, 116 East High Street in Circleville, 740-477-9828. They are your local school apparel source for SVC gear, including all kinds of sports accessories. You get your headwear, your sports equipment. They can do your shirts. They can do it all up at C&K Athletic Equipment. Again, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 9 to 12, and closed on Sunday. Give them a call and tell them that SVC Sports Zone sent you. You know, one thing that we've talked off and on about, but it sounds like it's, facetiously, I guess, we're saying, track season's about to get started here. everyone's going to really show their hand, and they've kind of been practicing. It tracks like no other sport that I know. You kind of you practice through live meets, but you know, where's your attention on all this going to really climax for track?
You know what's really funny, Bruce, is there about 3-4 years ago, I thought to myself, hey, as a baseball coach, I need to make sure that I don't get too subjective here, and I need to really be making sure that I give quality coverage to the track as well. So I started to get more involved and trying to get more results posted and different things. And the more I studied it, I started to realize these guys don't even care yet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for a lack of better term, basically, is, you know, they're just kind of going out and some teams would, hey, we're not going to run our distance people tonight, right, to see if our throwers can carry us or if they can do this, or, you know, and you know, I started to realize there's far more strategy. Well, in all seriousness, I know we kind of make fun there with the title or leading into the post game comments, but you're starting to get to this point where the league meet is around the corner, and then you're getting to the districts. And I know a lot of smaller schools will tell you, look, we have certain people that are trying to make all league, but if they know they can't make all league, they don't quite want to peak there yet. They want to wait and peak a little bit more into the district regional level when they get more into their division. So, I mean, there's some fascinating discussions, but, you know, when I see like some of the PV throwers like Ott and Burton, and, you know, Uniota has great depth. Zane Trace has great depth. You know, Mohan at Uniota. We know from cross country the distance with Wright and company. And, you know, Zane Trace, gosh, I don't know, Harris. Darby Pillow's a fascinating athlete. You remember us talking in the fall, Bruce, about how he played like five sports at once.
Yep.
He's a fascinating athlete to follow on the girls' side with Beam and Flommer. Cammie Chandler of Piketon, one of the really unique. I think when you talk Ella Skeens and you talk Cammie Chandler, you're talking about two of the really unique athletes in our area.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, I think once you get on the big stages, once you get to the league meet or to the district level, going out, if you just are a fan of sport, I think just going out and watching them compete at that type of level is very, very impressive.
You know, Ruby of Southeastern, Bacon Astor of Adena, Putnam on the girls' side there. There's just a lot of good athletes. And by the time you get to spring, you'll recognize a lot of the names from basketball, from volleyball, you know, from other sports. And I think that's where it's fun to follow. So, yeah, I would encourage people to really start watching here a little bit as we get, like I said in the opening, I think junior high, I want to say it's out at Paint Valley later in the week. And then the following week, the high school, I don't have that in front of me, maybe at Southeastern. But they have the two nights, remember, in the league where they have some of the prelim stuff. And then they finish it up there later next week. I believe that's Friday the 12th is the finals for that. So, yeah, Bruce, we'll continue to go. The one thing I wanted to throw out real quick too, Bruce, is whenever we decide on our last show, so if we're going to call it, say, 2 weeks, I really enjoyed last year doing our what did you call those? The sports zodies?
I forget. It was
it was catchy. People, I think some people liked it. I think some people liked the name.
They're very charitable if they like the name. I don't recall what it was. But obviously not.
I even had some student athletes stopping me at games like later in the week and so forth, saying, "Hey, I thought that was cool how you picked our game and picked this or picked that." And you know, but yeah, we're going to give away our sports zonies where I go through back through the year and try to remember this was the game of the year or the performance of the year or the athlete of the year. You know, we'll just come up with some neat categories and we'll start to look, and yeah, you know, who knows, maybe we still have a couple of those performances or games to still go here. I know we've certainly had some SVC baseball and softball games that would at least be some nominations for some of those. So
gonna have to go back and listen to the whatever show that was, and that brings up a point. You know, if you ever want to, for whatever reason, you can go back and listen to all the shows. They're up on the DBK Media Services website. So if you really have a problem falling asleep at night and you want to find out what we were doing yeah. 6 years ago, you can do that if you'd like. But
it is neat every now and then to go back and just randomly pick one of those shows just to see. Remind yourself some of the elite athletes in our league now that we've been doing this, man, 6 years. I mean, yeah. It's and obviously we've been able to add a lot to the show, but yeah, that is kind of neat that we've been able to archive that and have that for our league. Yeah. So
I was going to mention to you too, I was at the Benton County Invitational on Thursday night and got to see some of the SVC teams do thing. And you just mentioned a little bit ago, Jacob Ott, you know, some of the throwers and so forth. And I didn't get to see the performances, but I got to see the results. And PV was right up there with Jacob Ott and Travis Burton in the boys discus throw, it seemed like. And we also had Huntington, we had Piketon, and PV, I guess it was. I was trying to think if there's anybody else that was there from the Scioto Valley Conference. I don't believe there was, but they had a pretty good showing. But again, you know, like you mentioned, track is kind of, they never show all their cards until the stars all line up just so. But it was interesting to see and hear some. Actually, I was doing the PA announcing, so I got to say some of those names that I've heard you talk about so many times and so forth. So good time.
That's really neat. Yeah, that's really neat, and I appreciate you sharing that because, yeah, we did have some good results from that, and you know, we'll make sure we add all that to our track page as we get going on. But, you know, a lot of fun this week. Good show. Appreciate the fan feedback. I apologize. I know we've still left some people out. I know some people emailed me again last week and said, hey, you forget about me or whatever. You know, we try to shove it all into the show while still making sure we highlight the kids as much as we can. So, you know, keep sending it in. We'll make sure we get as much as possible on there. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center in Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, and for Bruce Knox and all the fine people behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC 100% of the time.